this is Victrios.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 6. I started this last week. I couldn't finish it. I'll just say the concluding part today. Luke chapter 6. So we call it Solid Foundation. So we'll call it Solid Foundation. Part 2, Solid Foundation Part 2. All throughout the month of June, we are looking at House on the Rock. House on the Rock. Luke chapter 6, and from verse 47 to 49. Luke 6, 47 to 49. All right? So this is Jesus speaking. He says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them to practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." The word of God is telling us here that hearing is not only important, action based on what you have heard is important. Some years ago, and I think I've done it once here, I asked people, "What do you do with your church notes?" Let me ask you this morning. What do you do with the notes you take in church? Because people take notes copiously in church. Some people will even take the note of their friend. They'll copy what the guy is writing, you know. And I asked, "What do you do with it?" Maybe most people were quiet, just like they are this morning. Because the answer is nothing. And I'm not trying to say don't write notes. In fact, do write notes. Even if you think you know what is going on, write notes. Because one of the things that notes does for you, or when you're writing notes, is that it makes your concentration to be there in the moment. But much more than note taking, much more than hearing, action is required. Action is required. Do you know that if majority of the children of God act on what they know, life will be better? Can somebody say amen to that? Several years ago, somebody was making an analogy in a country and saying, "There are so many churches here. It seems the church is deceiving people. You know, because of the presence of the church, we should have seen so much change." But the problem is not the volume of the church and the fact that they are not saying the right things. The issue is that many times we don't do what we know. We excuse it. We don't even make plans to do it. You know, I believe many of the times when you come to church, when you read your Bible, when you get to some places, pause and what am I going to do differently? In fact, I have thought that in 2019, when most phones have calendar, when you are listening to a message, when you are hearing the word of God, or when something touches you, you can put it on your calendar as an item. This is how I'm going to carry it out. You know, the man of God told us that, you know, when we get home, we should do an inventory. Trust me, 99% of people will not do anything about it. They won't go out. They won't just forget about it. Church has ended. If once we stand up and dance for the offering, the whole message has danced with the offering. But Jesus is saying, look, if you don't do what you are hearing, you are not building well. Because Jesus concluded with that, by saying this, that everyone somehow is building. We are involved in building. Whether you are building your home, whether you are building a career, but everybody is building, but not everybody is building well. Many people are building by default, and by default is that they are not intentional about what they are building. Many people are building by design. By design means that they are building based on the design of the script that they should have been building on. They are building based on the plan that is written from the word of God that they should have been building on. So Jesus is saying, hearing is not enough. Hearing is not enough. I like it when somebody is preaching, or I'm preaching, or somebody else is preaching, and somebody is able to complete my sentence. Somebody is able to complete the Bible verse. You know, you read the Bible verse, somebody is quoting it, they're able to. I love that. But quoting scriptures is not enough. If you quote scripture, there's no difference between you and even the devil. The devil quotes scripture. You remember when he came to meet Jesus and he tempted Jesus? The Bible said the devil was telling Jesus that as God not said, I will give my angels charge over you. Was he lying? No. He was quoting scriptures. So quoting scriptures is not enough. Eh? Scriptures, people can quote scripture. Doing scriptures is the thing. The doing part. Jesus, scripture says, it says, the people that are blessed are not the hearers only. That was what James was saying. He said, it is the doers. It is the doers. So Jesus said in this scripture we read here this morning, if you hear what I say and you do it, I will liken you to somebody that builds his house on the rock. I will liken you to, and my prayer for you is this, that your home, your finance, everything that represents your life will be built on the rock in the name of Jesus. And then last week we started and said something about foundations, saying that foundations usually are the first things that happen in a building. That it is possible that foundations are not seen, but it doesn't mean that they are absent. The fact that things are not happening now sometimes also doesn't mean that things are not really happening. There are many times people are under pressure. They don't know that God is making foundation for them, that God is digging them down. God is planting them, you know, and then after a while, they are going to blossom. And so we need to pay attention to foundation. Though they are not seen, foundations are very important. And so last week, I started by saying that one of the foundations we need to solidify, we need to lay on our in our family, is to build our families on the covenant and not contract. Is to make sure we make our family to be laying or standing on the covenant of the word of God, of the covenant of God. Because covenant is only what will make it to stand secure. I remember when I was a younger Christian, one of the things I used to first do, if there's anything, I would be asking myself, what is my anchor? And that's the language I used then. What is my anchor? Meaning, what am I holding on to? Because you see, it is what you hold on to that eventually will hold you. So I'm looking for my anchor. I'm saying, okay, what is the scriptural anchor? What am I going to anchor this on? And once I find that anchor, many other times, whatever I'm believing God for, whatever I want to do, it's going to just be a matter of time because I have an anchor for it. I have an anchor for it. And I'm believing God that in this morning, God will help people lay hold of anchors in their lives in the name of Jesus. So the covenant is an anchor. By covenant, we mean an agreement between two parties made by sacrifice. By covenant, we mean an agreement between two parties made by sacrifice. A contract is also an agreement, but usually a contract does not invite sacrifice. But an agreement between two parties made by sacrifice and that has terms. That has terms. So if we're talking about building our homes on the covenant, we are saying this, that we are building our home in agreement with Jesus Christ, and there is a sacrifice there. There is the sacrifice of Jesus himself. And sometimes, because of the terms of the covenant, we may need to make one or two sacrifices. That is the covenant. So you build your home, you build your life on that covenant, and there are now terms of the covenant. There are terms of the covenant. I said some of the terms of the covenant last week to the wives. I said some of them to people that are single. And this morning, I would just say more to the husband. Can somebody say amen to that? Oh, excuse me. I said to the husbands last week, I will speak more to the wives this morning in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's do a long read. 21 to 28. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 to 28. Ephesians 5, 21 to 28. This is how you start. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And then if you keep on reading, you know, it mentions many other things. It talks about the fact that you have to leave to cleave. And then if you get to chapter 6 from verse 1 to 4, it now talks about parenting. But some of the things we see here are the terms of the covenant of marriage. The terms, the things that you have to do, the things that I have to do. Because you see, in a covenant, because it's an agreement between two parties, except one party fulfills all their own obligation, the other party is not obligated to do their own part. In the case of covenant of marriage, God's part is already done. Now, for you to enjoy the fullness of God's part, you have to do your part. And God is here saying to husband, he says, husband, love your wife. And he says the way you should love your wife, you should love your wife in the way Christ loved you. He loved you before you were perfect. He loved you despite you. In fact, in that scriptures, the Bible said, Christ is still washing us. He's washing us by his word. And he said, in that same manner, husband, do to your wife like that. Meaning this, you as the man, you may, the wife that you have married may be a raw material, so to say. Your job is to refine her. Can I get an amen to that? And then he went on to talk about the wife. That's where we want to spend some time before we pray this morning. He says, husband, wife, submit to your own husband. Wife, submit to your own husband. And then he now says, the husband is the head of his wife. You know, some people misquote that scripture and they said the man is the head of woman. No. You are necessarily not the head in that scriptural context of every woman there is. Because people have read that and have thought that that meant that the man was superior to the woman. And then that means that everywhere man is, man had to lead woman. Women are to follow after men or something like that. That's what some people have understood. But the Bible said there, the husband or the man is the head of his own home or of his own wife. So it is not the head of everywhere. And then, but he said, wife, submit. That word submit there, if you go to from verse 22, he says, wife, submit yourself to your own husband as to the Lord. Verse 23. No, I think it's 21. Do 21 first. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the word submission in that scripture really is reverence, is respect. So when you hear there, wives, submit to your own husband, it means wives, respect your husband. The thing that a man most needs is respect. The thing that a woman most needs is love. I spoke a little bit about that last week, about how to love your wife in our own language and things like that. But a man needs respect. A man wants to feel like I am the, I got this. A man wants to feel like this is my home. A man does not want to be like a passenger even in their own home. They want difference. Sometimes you meet a strong personality lady.
You meet a lady who is, you know, A-type lady, very driven, you know, wants to get things done. And sometimes they think that, you know, there are some things my husband is slow about, you know. There are some things, my husband is just a very quiet person. And you think that because of his personality, you can take his role. Scripturally speaking, you are not making your own part in the covenant to be accomplished. Because the Bible said, respect him. And respect means reverence. Reverence means I give you the right of way. When you get to a stop sign and you let a car pass, what you are doing in that scenario is that you are giving the right of way. So when we talk about respect in the home, you are giving the right of way. We are not saying that the man now begins to lord it over the woman. We are not saying that the man now begins to abuse the woman. Because even the scripture here says, we submit ourselves to one another and the wife should submit to her husband just as she does it to the Lord. When we reverence Jesus, when we reverence the Lord, does he abuse us? When we reverence Jesus, does he now say, because you reverence me now, you know, today is Monday, but you know what? You are just going to go to church. You are not going to walk today. Even if Jesus tells some people that, they will not obey. Amen. But he does not lord it over us. The reverence we give to him, he doesn't lord it over. That is how the husband has to also do for the wife. So respect is a choice. Respect is a choice. In fact, this old scripture that we are talking about in the marriage context, everything there, you can choose to do it. If there's anything that I have learned and I have discovered in marriage, many of the things we do are decision-based, not feeling-based. Yes, after a while, when you know a lady, when you know a man, there will be feelings. There will be butterflies, whether they go and they come or whatever. There will be butterflies and all of that. But you see, what will happen eventually are what we choose to do. Look at the case of Jesus Christ. The Bible is saying here about how a husband needed to love his wife. He said, love the way Jesus loved. Do you know how Jesus loved us? Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. But you see, the death on the cross was not something that Jesus felt like. You know that, right? Jesus did not feel like dying on the cross. Jesus died because he must die. Because there was a time Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one who the Bible called the Word made flesh, he said, Father, I know we have had this conversation before I came to this earth. This is 3.5 years since I came to this here. But do I have to die? Jesus was telling God, the Father, can we not find another way for this redemption? Can we not just redeem them by proclamation? You know that would have been good. I believe, I receive redemption. The whole world be redeemed. He said, we didn't hear the Father telling him anything. So he now chose to do that. So his death on the cross was a choice. His death on the cross was something he chose. So in this whole covenant arrangement, anything we do, whether you're the wife, whether you're the husband, whether you're a single person, whatever we do is a choice. And I want you to know this morning that respect is a choice. I can choose to respect my husband, not because, so to say, he deserves it. Not because sometimes he has even been loving, because you see, this respect your husband, love your wife is supposed to be a complete equation. So some people are waiting for the word of God says to my husband, love your wife. They are waiting until he loves me. You know, pastor spoke last week. He talked about the love language. Okay, now, I've still been waiting. I thought he was going to even call me and say, honey, sugar, let us talk about your love language. And he did not talk about it. In fact, pastor, tell him now. Tell him. He needs to ask me my love language. He is not speaking my love language. So you are saying to yourself, until he speaks my love language, I won't respect him. Or you are acting it. But the word of God did not give that condition. He just said this. It just came out. Wives, respect your husband. Husbands, love your wife. He didn't say, husband, love your wife if your wife respects you. Husband, a wife, respect your husband if your husband loves you. No, you do your own part, and you're now likening it to Jesus Christ, all these actions. Remember that Jesus loved you when you didn't even love him. So it was not a transaction based on your action. It was a transaction based on his own decision. So what I'm saying this morning, if we want to build our homes on solid foundation, we have to make sure that our role and the part that we have to play in that covenant, we choose to do it irrespective of the other party. Am I saying the other party should not do what they should do? I'm not saying so. But I am saying that the example of Christ tells us that if we wait for the other party to do their own part, we will wait in vain. Do you know sometimes it is when you do your own part that you motivate the other party? There are many times that you have waited for some things to happen and it didn't happen, but you did your own part anyway. You did your own part. You stood where God wanted you to stand anyway. You did your own part and you left the rest to God. God is now able to make you harvest. God is able to turn things around. Because when Jesus died for us, no, people were not saying, God, we need you, we need you, we need you. They were not even looking for any savior. When Jesus was going to die, these were the people that he had been doing ministry with 3.5 years. He was doing welfare ministry for them. He was doing health and services things for them. Jesus was everything to these guys. Jesus was not just preaching, you know, like we are preaching this morning. He did grocery Sunday every other Sunday. Jesus was so much involved in welfare that there was a time that Jesus was talking about spiritual things. His disciples thought he was talking about food, because food was a part of his ministry. So many people, once they hear Jesus, he pulled the crowd, not because only people wanted to hear the word of God, but they wanted to eat the bread of this earth, not the bread of life. Now, these same people nailed him on the cross. They said, crucify him. And the Bible says everybody deserted, including the people like Peter that told him that, Pastor Jesus, if you die, be sure, before you give up the ghost, I would have given up my ghost first. I will die with you. Where are we going? We will die with you. And then this same Peter, they asked Peter, do you know Jesus? He said, Jesus, I swear, never. God, I don't know Jesus. I don't even know how to spell the name. How will I know him? I don't know him. And the Bible said he died for those people. So what does that tell us? It tells us that this old covenant is not based on the response of the other party. If you are a wife, it's not based on your husband. If you are a husband, it's not based on your wife. So if God is saying to you, woman, respect your husband, it's a choice. You can make up that choice this morning. You can ask God that I have decided I will respect my husband. I have decided I will do things that will respect him. I have decided I will treat him even better than I treat other people. One of the things I have discovered in marriage is that if married people will sometimes treat themselves the way they treat external people or outsider, it will be great. Can somebody say amen to that? If wife sometimes can just respect their wife, if wife can respect their husband, sometimes the way they even respect pastor. You know, sometimes the pastor can say, excuse me, sister. She say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm not saying that you should now make your home like an imperial system and it looks like your husband is the governor of a nation. You people should still be close and... But let him know that he's respected. Let him know that his decisions are expected. Let him know that his views are expected. Let him know that what he says is valid. There are some wives, if the husband says, let us go one way, talks to the children about something, even though that thing is not the best way, the way you put it before the children and how you address it will communicate the man that, do you respect me? Because some wives will just say, your daddy does not know what he's talking about. We are going to do it. They just go ahead. And the man, over time, feels disrespected. He feels like he does not have a say. And some wives will say, well, I know better. I know my husband, pastor. I know him. I just know his weakness. And God has sent me into his life to help his weakness. There is a way you will help somebody's weakness and you will turn it into trouble. You throw me into a problem. But I'm praying for you and for your home, that your home will be a garden of Eden in the name of Jesus. So respect is a choice. Respect shows up in what you say and not say. Respect shows up in what you say and not say. If I respect someone, if I have reverence, my manner of conversation, what I say, the way I say things will show that I respect him. Respect shows up in what you do and not do. Respect shows up in what you do. There are sometimes the way you can give me something. For example, food. Most times in marriage relationships, the wife will fix the food. And there's no scriptural basis saying that a woman must do the food. Can somebody say amen to that? Yeah, I mean, culturally and, wiredly, if I can use that word, women sometimes tend to cook more. But there are men that cook better than women. Your dad used to cook very well. Amen. I remember I'd said this before, that before I got married, I was in my heart telling myself that I want to be like his dad. You know, cooks a lot. He's the cook in the house. Your mom didn't used to cook, right? He's the one that cooks. And he has, how many sisters? Four sisters? Three sisters. But he cooks for everybody. In fact, sometimes he will see me, he'll say, Pastor Emmanuel, after service, can we see? And then we'll see after service. He'll open the trunk. It's soup. So I used to like it. I said, I like this ministry. It's different. I want to be a different man. But I'm not called to that ministry. Amen. The ministry I'm called to is this. Good taste. You know? you know that man in the marriage at Cana of Galilee that they gave the wine to taste? That's my ministry. That said, why didn't you bring this one? If you give me good food, I can tell you, this is good food. And in the house, they know. They just say, Pastor, can you help us taste this food? You know, and then I taste it. I said, this is very good. Oh, this, that's my ministry. It took me a while to find it out, you know. One time I tried, I remember it was one Mother's Day. I think I just decided I would cook to relieve my wife. And I told myself, no, it's not my ministry. Let me focus on prayer and the word of God and the ministry of tasting the food. Can somebody say amen to that? So respect shows up in what you do. So the way you give him his food, if you are the one to give him his food, or even just the whole idea of food, or the whole idea of even sex. Can I say that this morning? Some wives think that it's a tool and a weapon to use against their husband. So when we are fighting now, or there's an issue, you touch her, she'll be like, she'll fake sleep. Or she'll fake headache. Like, I'm not feeling too good. It is part of it. You are not showing respect. The Bible said here that we are to respect or submit to our husband like we do to the Lord, like we do to our Lord and Savior. He wants us to have that kind of attitude. So respect shows up on what you say. Respect shows up on what you do and not do. Respect shows up in submission. You know, I like the fact that the Bible used the word submission for woman. You would have thought that it is the man, the Bible will say, should submit. Because if you understand submit means that you have something and you lay it down. So to submit means that you have something. That means that if women will understand that they are not as unpowerful as sometimes they think they are. For the Bible to tell you to submit, it knows that if you don't do it willingly, you have power that you are going to be using that will not work in favor of your marriage. So that's why the Bible is saying, put it down. Submit means lay it down. You have an agenda, lay it down. You have a thought, lay it down. There is almost nothing you can't get your husband to do if you know how to lay it down. Sometimes when I remember the story of how John the Baptist died, I think of the power of using what you have to get what you want. It was a sad story. But you see, in that story, the mother of this lady told her that, well, your father wants you to come and dance. And your father is going to say, ask me anything because you have respected him. You have done something for him. And I will do anything that you ask. And the mother wanted to ask something devilish and he threw it on that table. Do you know that even in marriages, if you know how to give the respect your husband needs, You can get any love or any other thing that you want. Because if you submit it, if you lay it down, if you put it down, what happens when you put it down is that you now give him opportunity to give it back to you. Jesus not said, he says the best way to keep something is to lose it. He says anybody that holds on to his life will lose it. He says, but anybody that gives it away to me, he says he will find it. So that's the same principle we have here in marriage. That if you want to enjoy peace in your home, woman, you need to know how to lay it down. Because when you lay it down, you will find it. Some people are like, well, it's my career. I want to go like this. But if you lay it down, you will still find it. I was at a birthday ceremony yesterday, and it so blessed my heart when the man was saying something like this. He said, I told my wife that, this is not the route I want to go. My wife suggested, let's go like this. It was about coming to the United States, staying in the United States. And my wife was suggesting that maybe I should come. And I told her I won't come. And I said this, I said that, I said it. And instead my wife said, well, just give me some little time. Whatever you want to do, we are going to do it. Do you know at the end of that story, what the wife wanted them to do is what they eventually did. There are some women, because of that thing that you want them to do, you will now fight the man to a standstill. You will do everything to make life so difficult for him, such that he will know that this is what we should do. This is what God said. But she said to, in that story, when the guy was talking to us yesterday, that the wife said, whatever you want us to do, whichever way God leads you, I will go. But just give me a little time. Eventually, he came back to do that thing. Wives, can I tell you this morning? There's almost nothing you can't get from your husband when you learn how to lay it down, when you learn how to submit. Sometimes the things we fight over, the things we argue over, if we only knew that if we take a step back, if we relax a little bit, if we don't get too opinionated, many of the things we're asking for, we will get it. In fact, this is one of the things I found out in marriage. Many of the times, the husband and wife, they are going to the same direction. They just don't know it. They are just going in different routes. It's like coming to this church. If you do GPS, one will take you past Parker. Another one will bring you on Costner. But it will still bring you to this corner. Many of the times, we are going to the same place. But we are taking different routes. So sometimes you just need that patience. You just need that understanding. You just need that knowing that, look, we are not on different side of the equation. We are on the same side. We just don't know that we are on the same side. And we are going about the same thing in different way. So my role, I will find my role as a man. I will find my role as a woman. And I will, by God's grace, perform my role. And Jesus said, if we add it to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he says, if we do this, we are building our house on the rock. Because it is a script by him, because it is what he has given. It is a term of the covenant. If husband will love his wife, if wife will submit to her husband, Jesus is saying this, you are fulfilling your part of the covenant. I will fulfill my part. Because Jesus himself is the foundation. There's no other foundation that can be laid except that has been laid by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. When we fulfill our part, he is not saying there will be no storm. Remember, he told us there will be storm. There will be issues. We are going to think aloud. You know, in my house, we don't fight. No, why would we fight? We just raise our voices. Amen to Jesus. We turn on the volume. We just turn on the volume and we talk a little bit fast. And sometimes I talk, I don't think before I talk and something like that. You know, that's what we just do. We just raise our voice. So Jesus is saying there will be times that the voices will go up. It will be a little raised up. But he says, if you do your part, she does her part, I will help you. I'm praying for help for you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Help in your home. Help on the job. Help everywhere. In the name of Jesus. Will you also receive that help from heaven this morning? Say, this morning I receive help over this marriage. I receive help over my relationship. I receive help
in the name of Jesus. Help to love my husband. Help to love my wife. Help to submit to my husband. Help to respect my husband. I receive it this morning in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Some of us need to receive forgiveness this morning. We have said things to our spouse that we shouldn't have said. In anger, we have reacted. We have done things. First of all, I want you to just speak to God this morning and say, Lord, I receive forgiveness from you for that last encounter we had at home. I receive forgiveness. Come on now, go ahead. You should be talking to God in prayer this morning in the name of Jesus. Somebody may also be here and say, well, you know, Pastor E, we were talking about marital relationship, but even my Heavenly Father relationship is not good. I want to make it right with God this morning. I will pray for you this morning. If you're in the congregation this morning, you want to say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Or I want to return back home. I just left everything, but I want to return back home. I want to reconcile myself back to Jesus this morning. I will also pray for you this morning if you're in the crowd. If you're in the audience this morning, if I see your hands, I'll be praying for you to welcome you back home, to welcome you back to the kingdom in the name of Jesus. We pray in this morning, go ahead, speak to God, receive forgiveness. Father, this morning we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, because we are building our lives on solid foundation. And so, Father, every area where we need forgiveness this morning, we receive it in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that there'll be repairs in our homes in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you.